The fact about the ancient philosopher Diogenes that is quite hard to get over is that he liked pleasuring himself in public. Yes, he was a flasher. It did form part of a wider philosophy, but then doesn't it always? When asked about his masturbating in the marketplace, he said, "If only it were so easy to satisfy my hunger just by rubbing my belly." I think it's fair to say that he was quite a confrontational person. And yet, people in ancient Athens respected his ideas. This is the trouble with trying to understand thinking from the past. It quite rapidly becomes clear that people in the past were really different to us. That the culture we live in teaches us to think in certain ways, which it's hard or impossible to escape from. That we're all, in some way, therefore, a prisoner of the particular civilization we're part of. Which was, in fact, what Diogenes was trying to teach, and not just through the medium of self-pleasure. He was part of the school of cynics, which didn't mean then what it means now. Even the words we use tend to trap us in certain ways of thinking. It would be better to use the original meaning of the word and say that he was part of the school of be like dogs. Cynic, kunikos, kuon, related to canine, dog-like. Diogenes looked at the complicated world of social norms, rules, things we tell ourselves we need, things we demand from other people to find them socially acceptable, and said, "For goodness sake, why can't we just live like dogs?" Human Intelligence, from BBC Radio 4, presented by me, Naomi Alderman.
So Diogenes is a 4th century BC philosopher. He's predominantly associated for the majority of the stories about his life with the city of Athens in the 4th century BC. And Diogenes represents the school of philosophy of cynicism.
Dr. Robert Cromarty, who is a classics master at Wellington College.
The cynics elevate the animal above the human because the animal has this sense of authentic life. It has this idea of self-sufficiency. And one of the key concepts of cynicism is a Greek term, autarkeia, which is that idea of self-sufficiency, being content with what we have rather than constantly striving for greater things beyond that. And that's why I would say if you wanted to drill down into the very essence of Diogenes' thinking, it is that sense of living authentically. It is that sense of just being in the moment, not really worrying about what tomorrow is going to bring, because all that matters is the here and the now.
Which, if you've ever spent time with a dog, is a relatable thought. Dogs are so fundamentally in themselves. They run around happily when it's time to run, they enjoy themselves, they obey their own instincts, and don't worry about which fork to use at dinner, how their career is going, or whether their lifestyle looks cool on Instagram. All of these aspects of cultured and civilised society, Diogenes thought, are false. Things we humans impose on ourselves in a mad and maddening way, and which keep us away from the good, simple life of which we are natural, physical inheritors.
Ultimately, Diogenes is trying to teach us the thing that matters the most, which is where we can find happiness and contentment with what we have. He regards himself as being almost, in part, a divine messenger, trying to show humans that in questions of good and evil, we've gone astray, and that we have stopped focusing really on what matters. We care about materiality over living well. And that idea of living well is what he really wants us to get hold of.
As is often the case with the ancient world, it's quite hard to separate out legend from reality. But according to the stories about him, Diogenes was born on the Black Sea coast of Anatolia in about 404 BCE. His father was a banker and got involved in some kind of scandal involving the debasement of currency. Diogenes was stripped of his citizenship and had to leave the city. This wasn't just disgraceful, it could easily have meant death at the time. He studied with Antisthenes in Athens, an ascetic who rejected worldly possessions. At some point in his wandering, the legend says, Diogenes was captured by pirates and sold into slavery. he was a man who lived in both the highest and lowest levels of society. Trying to understand what had happened to him and how to live, he went to see the oracle at Delphi, who gave him one of her typically obscure pronouncements. She told him to deface the currency. He decided that this meant that he should try to undermine the normal ways that people lived, to show them that so much of the social currency that they lived by was unnecessary and actually preventing them from having good and happy lives.
The cynics regard themselves as being the inheritors of the Socratic mantle. So that Socratic method of questioning how we understand things, why we think the way we do, why we behave the way we do. But Diogenes effectively turns everything up to 11. Famously, he lives in a large storage jar within an area of Athens called the Metron. Instead of Socrates, who lived in a house. So that's what I mean by him taking that Socratic model and dialing everything up to 11 in a Spinal Tap sense.
I think it's probably best to understand the stories about Diogenes as almost a set of parables. We don't really know whether they happened, and some of them contradict each other. But together, they present a character and philosophical portrait of a man whose life was a model of his idea of be more dog. So, he disdained belongings and wealth. The story is that he begged for a living. He owned a cup, but when he saw a boy drinking from his hands, he said, "What an idiot I am, carrying around this pointless clutter," and smashed his cup. Shown into a rich man's house and told not to spit on the floor, he coughed his phlegm into the man's face, saying that he couldn't see anywhere more disgusting to aim for. He did know that what he was doing was completely unacceptable. He was trying to teach something.
He compares himself to a trainer of choruses in the Greek theatre who is deliberately singing at a pitch too high for the majority of the chorus to meet, so that even if they fall short, they'll achieve a level that is good enough.
Not actually sure that's how choirs work, but okay. The point is that he was acting in an over-the-top, unpleasant way, ostentatiously pushing away the trappings of normal civilised behaviour in order to say, we don't need this. We can all live much more happily without it.
There's a good anecdote. Most of the stories about Diogenes come in the form of these anecdotes from his life by a much later author called Diogenes Laertius. And there is this account of a very big debate about whether the concept of motion exists. And you have books like The Physics written about it and pages of debate about how we can define motion. And this derives from Parmenides and Zeno and those kind of abstract philosophers. And instead of trying to debate them, Diogenes just simply stands up and walks across the room to prove that motion is obvious to everybody. And that kind of highfalutin, really abstract, departed from lived existence philosophy is of no value. So that kind of counterpoint to saying, if we're going to have philosophical debates, if we're going to care about things, they're the things that should make human existence better, not just debate for the sake of debate.
He loved a practical example, or in other words, a stunt. He begged for charity from statues, and when asked why, he answered, to get practice in being refused. He wanted to free people from superstitious beliefs about gods, so he used to walk up to people kneeling in front of a statue with their bums in the air and say, how do you know that the god isn't behind you? Could we call him the first shock jock? He certainly has something in common with anyone who likes to break convention, to say shocking things, and stick their tongue out at authority. Allegedly, he met Alexander the Great, who was a big fan of his work. Alexander walked up to Diogenes as he sat relaxing in the warm sunlight near a grove of cypresses, and asked if there was any favour that he, the most powerful man on the planet, could do for him. Yeah, replied Diogenes, get out of my sun.
So that's really how he goes about marketing his philosophy. It's got this decidedly dry, caustic humour behind it. Imagine almost a stand-up comedian who is being heckled And there is that ability to immediately put down the heckler and get the entire audience back on side. So in that sense, he is an incredibly intelligent person. But his philosophy is not systematic. It's not trying to create some form of dogma or this is how we have to think. It's more about his philosophy is a counterpoint to everything he sees and encounters.
He does seem to have been very beloved in Athens, as people who say the things we all wish we could say do tend to be beloved. One story is that when some youth in Athens broke the pottery storage container he used to sleep in, the people of Athens clubbed together to get him another one. Ancient Athens was the world's first democracy, remember? A place which put huge value on not having a king. And they valued having Diogenes there, reminding them that no one deserves respect just because of how high or noble they seem to be. We still need that in modern democracies. There are many conflicting stories about how he died. One says he held his breath until he died, a fitting image of a tantrum for someone who could come over as both childlike and childish. Someone else says he got ill from eating raw octopus or died from a dog bite, which is the kind of thing you might say about someone who wanted everyone to be more dog. There is a tradition still in the modern world, though, that Diogenes and the Be Like Dog school founded.
I think you've seen echoes of him all the way down through history. You might think of the Fool in King Lear as having a character who has that capacity to speak truth to power in that way and point out where the foibles of society are. You might even think about how there is this general acceptance of things that are terrible, but we don't actively seek to try and change them within our own lives. So Diogenes, I think, would have a field today in the 21st century of just being able to stand almost on speaker's corner and point out to everybody, you know, why are you behaving in this way?
There is a very long reach to some of these ideas. Last week tonight and the day today are Diogenes. Private Eye is Diogenes. Actually, Viz is Diogenes, reminding us we're never too clever for a fart joke. He's also there in the potentially somewhat tiresome ways that hippies have been known to behave. Whatever you think of Diogenes, or of environmentalism, throwing a can of soup over a piece of art to demonstrate how much care we give to exactly the wrong things feels... well, it feels very Diogenes.